Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Welcome, everyone, to America's Jobs Team podcast, powered by Consultant Connect. I'm Carla Sones, and I am really excited about today's interview. We have Carla Moran with us here today, and Carla is from the Greater Phoenix area. She currently works at the Salt River Project, which is the utility company in the Phoenix region, and she has over 15 years of experience in economic development, ranging from the state level to a local community, and now with a utility. So she has a whole lot of experience working projects from multiple different angles. And I hope that you are able to take away some leadership insights from Carla today. Hey, everyone, it's Carla. And I have the pleasure of having Carla on the line. So it's not very often that I get to have somebody with the same name, although you have a K and I have a C. But it's really fun to have another Carla on the line today to talk about leadership and just your journey. I know you've been in multiple different communities in your region and now are working for a utility company. And I just want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself briefly to the listening audience and tell a little bit about your background in economic development.
Sure. So I'm Carla Moran. I'm with SRP in the Economic Development Department. I have been in economic development for over 15 years, scary to say. Started at the state in a trade role in international trade, and that morphed into FDI, and then that morphed into business attraction. And then I left the state to go work for one of our local municipalities. I was there for just a short period of time, but it was interesting to see the, as I call, the groundwork being laid, all the hard work being lifted at the local level. And then I was able to go to SRP. So I've been here now for almost 5 years. So it's pretty exciting to see projects are going through our system and how I touch them differently now. So it's kind of exciting. I learn a lot every day. So I love it.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really love about this industry is that it seems like every day there's something new to learn and a different nuance with the project. And it's been really fun. I think I've known you since I started here at Consultant Connect. You were one of the initial people that we were able to connect with. And it's been really fun to see your leadership grow and for us to kind of be in a group where we are able to learn together and, you know, teach each other a few tricks. So I'm going to ask you a few leadership questions today, starting with, you know, challenges, because I know that, you know, right now in economic development, there's a lot of challenges and there probably always will be. But from your perspective, what do you feel like is one of the biggest challenges that just leaders in general, not specifically economic developers, but if you have something specific, that's great too. But what is one of the biggest challenges that you think leaders are facing today?
I think there's two big challenges. One, just trying to stay focused. I think we're just in the environment we're in right now. It's, you can get pulled in a lot of different directions. And if you're not focused, it feels like sometimes you don't ever get anything done. I feel like this is cyclical, like just go in the cycle, constantly working, but you're like not sure where you're working towards. I think that's the hardest thing is to truly try to stay focused and aligned with a lot of goals, especially in economic development when there's so many stakeholders. Everybody has a different goal. And so it's kind of hard to bring everybody together to move towards those goals. So I think that's one of the biggest challenges is really to align stakeholders, align your goals. I find that really challenging. Another thing that I think is a big challenge for us is just training. Getting a lot, I feel like there's a lot of leadership opportunities and people kind of sometimes get thrown into them in kind of like a whiplash effect where they don't really know who they are in a leadership role and it takes them a while to get into a groove. And sometimes you lose a lot of momentum or time if you're not able to train young leaders to move into those roles, right? So like if you're not looking into your pipeline to see who's going to be your next leader and you're not training them from the get-go, it can be kind of a stop-and-go type of mentality for a company because they have to slow down as a leader gets up to speed.
Yeah.
And I've gone through a lot of leadership changes. So you kind of see that sometimes it takes a leader a little bit to get their bearings, which is understandable. But then sometimes if they're not being groomed at the get-go, I think sometimes it's harder to even get into that role and get the oil, everything moving nice and smoothly.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned that because, well, first, I just have to say the lack of being able to focus. When you said that, Faye and I, who are sitting in our podcast room, like almost were like, you know, praise hands in the air because it was like, preach. Like that's something that I think is a real struggle. And there are so many competing priorities and there's just so much to do that sometimes you can be working all day and being really, really responsive, but there's goals still left on your to-do list that you actually have to take the lead on rather than like be in the responsive seat. And so finding that balance of like checking texts and responding to texts and responding to email, but also carving out that time to actually get projects
done,
moving forward that you start or, you know what I mean? Or totally. To the finish line is so important.
Yeah, I've had to carve out time in my schedules now. Like I have to block time now. Like this is a project time. Like I need to work on certain things and move forward. Otherwise, if I don't do that and I don't carve out time in my schedule, it's not going to get done. And I might have blocks on my calendar. Otherwise, I mean, yeah. you can spend your whole time in email land, right? So if you have your email up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. You have to be really intentional about it. And then the succession planning and really thinking about like next leaders is something that's so near and dear to our heart here at Consultant Connect. And we've been thinking a lot about that and are actually hoping to roll out something in 2020 that will create a little bit of mentorship, which I hope that helps to identify some of those leaders and also get them matched up with some really great leaders that are already in the field so that we can begin to be more intentional about like, what are we going to do as a profession as everybody retires?
I've learned a lot with going through Next and now Thrive, just having some of the people within that group, we learn from each other and hearing their experiences and having that network of people that I've met at Next and Thrive has been huge. I reach out to a lot of them on a regular basis. So I've really appreciated that because it's gotten me out of my internal bubble of here in Phoenix and seeing on a national level, you know, some of these issues are the same across, you know, jurisdictions. And so having an understanding of someone in South Carolina has the same issues I do and how they may go about it differently is really kind of eye-opening and helps me like re-put things in perspective too and how I'm going to move forward in my career too. So it's been huge. So I really do appreciate the Next and Thrive programs that you guys put on.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I have certainly, it was very much a, I think I need this and we should do this for others. So I've been learning just as much as you all along the way. So thinking about leadership again, what is a characteristic when you think about great leaders that you've worked for? What is a leadership quality or characteristic that you feel like every leader should possess? And has there been somebody in your circle of influence that has really led by example with that characteristic for you?
Yeah, I think I've been fortunate to see a lot of some leaders that I've started to grow up with, but we've been all kind of in the same market together for a while. Like just being humble and grounded and willing to roll up their sleeves and get to work. I think that's the biggest thing. Willing to take part of an action item or willing to move things forward and being a part of the team, but also knowing like this may not be my strength. So having someone on the team that can help move something along, but if that's their strength and identifying where you can step back maybe and you can have others take the lead is huge. And I think that allows for almost the team to get more things accomplished. You know, Chris Camacho here at GPEC, he's done a lot in his young career, but he's always willing to, you know, get in there and get things done, but also willing to roll up his sleeves and be a part of the team. And I think that's a big thing. He knows when he needs to be kind of just, I don't want to say take a step back, but you know, really being a part of the team so you can get the team to move together and one in cohesively towards the end goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think it's a good thing to point out because sometimes people feel like when they're in that leadership seat that they have to, you know, direct everything and be able to do everything. And one of the most essential things that a leader can do is understand themselves and what they're good at and what they need other people to do to kind of offset their own weaknesses. And I think it's great when you find a person who's self-aware enough and humble enough to admit that and to kind of utilize the strengths of the people around them.
I think it's really important because you can see how a small team can do so much more when you have a leader like that, because you can mobilize people in the right way, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's huge to when a leader can identify that. And I feel like they just get so much more done.
Yeah. And you're able to fully utilize some of the strength on your team that you may not even recognize people have if you don't delegate something or ask for help. So on the flip side, you know, we've all seen behaviors that have been more of like career derailers or just have, you know, really made somebody not super easy to be around as a leader. So maybe it didn't tank their career, but it definitely left a bad taste in your mouth. What is the characteristic or behavior that you've you've seen leaders have that you've walked away and been like, you know, I just don't want to be viewed in that way? And is there something that you do to kind of guard against that behavior in your own leadership?
Sure. So my biggest thing is when a leader doesn't listen and they just feel that they have to talk over you and they're waiting to talk I don't think they ever hear you and they're just talking over you almost, even though they're not necessarily talking over you, but they wait for you to stop and then they talk, but they never actually heard what you said. And, you know, I see that sometimes, especially I find it more painful in projects where someone's just want to sell all the values of a community and they're not willing to listen to the client. And I think that's where we potentially lose deals and it becomes kind of painful to watch as you can just watch the trains go off the tracks type of thing. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, every conversation is different, especially on projects. You know, every client's different, every project's different. So listening to what their needs are and like letting them lead the discussion. And I think that's a bigger thing is trying to don't feel like you need to be lead the discussion because you're the leader, but also allow the client to lead the discussion and what they feel. And then you can, you know, obviously direct the line of questioning, but having them feel like they're giving everything, you know, describing what they want, their needs, their desires for what they want in the project. So I think that's, I mean, that can translate to a lot of other different, be outside of just project management, but just having patience and willingness to listen to your stakeholders and be willing to, you know, you might have to shift and pivot based off some of the dialogue that you're having, but being willing to do all that and not being so hard fast on this is what I plan on doing and I don't care what anybody else says.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so good to just reflect on, because it's one of those things that you can slip into easily if you're not really, you know, conscious and really thinking about it and reflecting on it your own self. I mean, I think we've all been in situations where we're like, yeah, I kind of know how this meeting is going to go down. And you kind of jump in and really take away that opportunity to truly be in a listening seat, either because your time is rushed or you feel like you already have the solution, or, you know, and just really being that person who can listen and then respond is so important in leadership.
Completely agree.
So outside of that, you know, like being a good listener and all of those great things that you've already mentioned, is there any leadership advice? You've been in this field for 15 years. Is there any leadership advice that looking back you'd give to your younger self as you started out?
Don't be afraid to make mistakes. You're going to make a lot of mistakes and you learn from most of them, right? I think it took me a while in my career to learn that all my mistakes I've learned from. Be more receptive from learning from those mistakes at a younger age probably would have got me a little bit farther. So it's hard because you don't want to admit that you're making mistakes, especially when you're new to something and it's brand new. Like you want to be, you know, you want to do well and you want to show off kind of that you know what you're doing.
Right.
But then, you know, you're going to make mistakes and things are not going to go the way that's planned, and just understanding and kind of identifying. I think you have to reflect too back on things that you've done to know where the mistake happened and kind of recognize that mistake so you can move forward.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of economic developers don't spend enough time doing, you know, post-project, is really looking back and reflecting on the process and thinking like, okay, whether we got it or we didn't get the project, what were the critical moments of the project that we could have done something different, or what things did go really well that we should always do? It's almost like we're going from project to project to project so fast that you don't take time to kind of reflect on the process. And there could be little tweaks that could be being done that would help future projects run more smoothly or save future projects, but we don't spend enough time, you know, even, you know, an hour debriefing with the team that was a part of it to say like, where did we kind of miss it on this project, or why did we lose? You know, we just keep moving forward.
No, and especially right now, I think almost in this time, since there's, you know, we're in a great economy right now, like it's just move, 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 go, go, go. And so sometimes you're just like, okay, you recognize the issue, but then you're like, I don't know, you know, we can do that later. I got other things on my plate right now. And I think just taking time, like you said, is huge. And we actually, that happened yesterday. We're in the middle of the project, but we saw an issue after we were debriefing. We're like, we really need to correct this in some of our contracts, because if this what this one client thinks, then others are probably thinking it too, right? So there's a lot of opportunity to do that. And I think it's the biggest thing.
I know you have attended Next and Thrive, and you talked a little bit about those leadership programs that you've been a part of. Are there other things that you're doing over the course of, you know, your everyday life, like reading or podcasts or other conferences that you attend that you feel like are ways that you're pouring into your own leadership so that you can continue to grow as a leader?
Oh, completely. I don't read a lot. I'm an audible person. So I do a lot of Audible in the car because I'm driving from meeting to meeting. But I spend time doing a lot of leadership books and podcasts. I'm fortunate here at SRP, we have a mentorship program. So I'm a part of that mentorship program, which is kind of different because no one's in economic development. My mentor is in resource planning. So they have a completely different outlook on things, and it's kind of refreshing to get his perspective on stuff. And then I'm also part of a women's leadership group here at SRP too. So trying to get involved in that many different aspects, especially with people that aren't within our industry, help, because you get completely different perspective on stuff, which sometimes I didn't even think about that, because I think being in the industry for so long, I sometimes become ingrained in some of the ways that we should do things. And so I find that almost even more valuable as having someone outside the industry as my check-in, my accountability person.
Yeah, I think it's so nice to have, we say a personal board of directors, but to have multiple different mentors, like somebody in the industry, somebody outside of the industry that you can bounce things off of occasionally, because, you know, it's hard to continue to refine your leadership skills. There's sometimes that you have to ask things and be in a safe place to ask them inside your team and outside of your team. So I completely agree with you. We have one last question before we wrap up the podcast. And this question I always say I know is really hard for economic developers, because it's a group of people that are really, really passionate about what they do, but don't like to take the credit for it. But I'm going to ask you, what have you been most proud of so far in your career? Is there a certain project or a certain work product that you were able to get across the finish line that made you especially proud as you kind of reflect on this last 15 years?
Yes. You know, I've worked on a lot of bigger projects, but I think there was one that really had an impact more on the community. It was a food manufacturing. So nothing terribly sexy and IT-ish, but you know, they were a great company, and they knew that most of their employees don't speak English. They knew most of their employees didn't have a car. They knew that most of their employees they didn't currently have insurance. And so that was the thing that they were offering. They were going to teach English during lunch. They were provide health insurance. And then they've kind of really worked hard with the city to get a bus route that stopped at their site. So it was really interesting how they kind of came in and they knew how they can add value to the community that they were going into. And some of the employees now, afterwards being there, you know, some of them didn't speak English, and now they can speak English and they were able to get health insurance. And seeing a company like that can move people up kind of the value chain of their career and giving them a stepping stone to learn some skills, I find that, for me, more transformational than some of the kind of bigger companies that we've worked with. So I'm more proud about those ones that really can transform the community a little bit more. And especially being in a diverse community, we have such different, some of the high tech areas, and we have some of our food processing manufacturers, and our job wages just vary dramatically between the two. And so some of those areas that, you know, may not get as much love because it's not the new shiny nickel area, like how do you spend more time with them? Because when you do bring a project to that area, it can be transformational. And I find those probably the most rewarding.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it's been fun to listen to a lot of different people on the podcast, because for every person that has like this really big, cool, you know, company that, you know, is a household name, most of the people have talked about projects like you mentioned, where it truly is something that's been transformational in their own community, because it may not have been household name company, but it was the project itself did something for the community that left a huge impact. And as you said, is transformational. So congratulations. I know with not just that project, but there's been many, many more that you've helped get over the finish line to improve the lives of many people and provide more job opportunities in the greater Phoenix area. And we certainly appreciate you taking time to be on the podcast today.
I appreciate the time. This has been fun. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, it was great talking to Carla today. She is always fun to be around and just sharp as a tack. And I hope that you took away some good leadership insights from her. I am really excited to listen in myself to next week's podcast. Nick from our team has Clark Krause from Boise Valley Economic Development on the line. And Clark is just really well known in this field for doing amazing work. He has been leading over in Boise for over 9 years and has experience from New Mexico prior to that. And he just has a lot of success stories and a lot of leadership insights. And I hope that you are able to tune in next week and hear the interview with Nick and Clark.